Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Love y'all boys, man. Keep fans on 2. 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Omar Kelly up with us this morning. Very busy yesterday. I actually ran into him a few times at the game before and at halftime. So you're up 17-0, and finally the Panthers go, you know what? What are we doing? Let's get back to doing what everybody else does. Let's start running between the tackles. Are we been a dumbass? What are we doing, man?
What are we doing?
What are everybody we doing? Everybody runs against them. You know, the Little League team's running against that. Anyway, you heard everything. And Mike going after it pretty good as well after the game. What do you do? I mean, it's bad. What do you do at this point? 1-4, a horrible, horrible loss, and three quarters of really bad football.
At this point, you have to realize that you don't have what you need at nose tackle and at defensive tackle in order to have a successful defense. I know everybody's going to say, oh, you got to play the rookies. Do you? Do you?
You do now.
No, you don't. They're allowing 5.6 yards per carry. And what's stunning is that they know that the play at the defensive line, you know, it's been tragically bad. Like, when I say tragic, it's been horrendous.
Yeah.
And they've done nothing. This problem hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse, because when you put it on film, teams just continue to copycat one another until you figure out how to stop it. And they even demoted Kenneth Grant. And when he's on the field, teams are hitting him with two blockers, because they can drive him down the field and create running lanes. And you just cannot anchor against the run right now. So, and you can't do anything until you can do that.
Omar, the one thing you can't do is bench your first round pick. High first round pick.
Why can't you bench your first round pick?
He's got to keep playing.
Did you bench Noah Igbinoghi? when he was out there playing and he cost the team the game when Russell Wilson. Yeah. This, I mean, Kenneth Grant is costing the team the game.
So what are you going to do about Savai Nye on the other side, too, who's about as bad as you can play right now? So what are you going to do there?
That you got no hope. He's got to continue to play, and you hope.
So what's the difference in one over the other?
One's giving you – Savai is not getting picked on. He's giving you five bad plays a game. That's not the case with Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, because it's not just Kenneth Grant.
No, it's by the way, it's a lot of those guys, because it's a struggling group right now. There's no question about it. I mean, those numbers yesterday, we literally got that guy, Rico Daddle, like he was like, man, what a great week for the starting running back to get injured. Have them right.
Get all my numbers
in one frigging game.
He was a 1,000-yard back last year. So people sleeping on. I don't know why Dallas gave up on him. I don't know what the situation is. Why he's there?
He's good back
like that.
Yeah, no, he's a good back without the breakaway speed. He's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. The issue is also the offensive line. The problem is, Savai would be better if you were able to give him some protection. By not always giving the protection to the right side of the offensive line. But, you know, the problem is with the defensive line, you don't have any other options. What are you going to do, play Keon Smith out there or maybe Daniel Brunskill? I don't know.
No, it's thin. It's super thin. I get you. I'm not – yeah. It's thin. The whole thing on both lines is it's thin.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, but, like, 14 carries for 19 yards and 1.4 average. How much can Mike talk about the defense when they can't run it?
Yeah, no, that was bad as well. Fortunately for them, they could pass the ball. I think Tua had another efficient day. He's back to 100 rated quarterback, which blows my mind because I really don't think he's playing that well. But he's completing 70% of his passes. Back to having 100 passer rating, which, you know, hey, okay. They were not good on third downs yesterday. That was, you know, the final play. And I know you want to get into the punt, which I actually agreed with. You're 4th and 17 at the 15-yard line. What are you going to do? Like, you're not converting a 4th and 17, especially with the protection that you have.
No, it was bad.
That's why they didn't do it.
Yep.
They kicked the ball. They used their three timeouts. If Bryce Young didn't convert a 3rd and 5 on a penalty by Jack Jones, they would have got the ball back.
Yeah.
With 50 seconds left. So, you know, it is, you know, about roughly 50 seconds left. Who knows what would have happened then? Who knows if they could have blocked the punt? You never
know. I'm not second guessing that, by the way. That was a Woody thing. So, you know, I didn't have 4th and 17, I think is what it was. And you're right. We're going to have no time to throw it. And at that point, offense. But the other one I want to get into is the throw. You did not think that was a good throw on that slant, a little slant to Waddle. It's over his head. Please, he got one hand on it. If not, if he didn't get a hand on it, things going to get picked most likely. That's got to be a lower throw.
That's got to be a lower throw. I haven't seen it from good angles, so I can't sit there and criticize that one. They miss passes. I mean, it's. You know, I think I watched the rush. He had to step up or step back or something. It doesn't matter. You elite quarterbacks make those plays. But then the series before, he makes the touchdown pass to Jalen Waddle.
Waddle made nice play, nice stutter and go, nice separation. It was it was beautiful.
All the defense has to do is get a stop, and you should win the game. But you know can't stop a nosebleed.
No. Hey, I got to ask you the comments after the game, Mike. Did you take it, Mike, going after Anthony Weaver? Pretty good on the schemes and stuff. A little bit, not making adjustments, or did other people read into that differently?
I don't think it's on Anthony Weaver. Anthony Weaver's trying a lot of things. Mike knows. Mike doesn't do anything on defense. Let's be real about it. So, you know, Weaver's trying things. What is Mike going to go? Mike going to go coach the defense for a week? What do you want to do? Like, you know, just sit there and listen and try to figure out. I mean, this is a personnel issue. This is not a scheme issue. This is a personnel issue.
I agree with the whole thing, because we thought it was thin, and now we're going, it's worse than thin. Yeah, no, it's I agree with you, Omar, and we've been talking, Woody and I've been talking about that this morning. So what's going to happen? I got 9,000 messages last night asking, so what's going to happen? We get it, and they say the same things after every game. All the same things are said. It's not acceptable, yeah. But we're hanging together and all. So what?
Yeah.
What do we tell everybody? What do we tell? You're the bridge to the fans. So what do you tell them is going to happen? I want to hear this one as one of the more popular guys we have on the beat.
No, there's nothing going to happen right now. They're going to continue to dig themselves a deeper hole. What should happen is they should go and sign, coach any kind of defensive lineman that can give them a pulse. This is a disaster, and it's not going to get any better until you actually get people who can anchor down. I mean, what are the other option? Are we going to go switch to a complete 4-3? Is that what you want to do?
It's funny you said that. It is funny you said that, because there are people. I remember we went through some three-man problems, and we switched it, and some guys weren't comfortable with it. We went to a four-man defensive line, and I wonder if that's something to go. By the way, do you really believe after Chris Greer drafted those guys and Mike signed off on it that they're just going to give up on all those young guys at this point after five games? Do you think that's going to happen? And I know they've been bad. I know how they're grading out. Do you think Chris Greer, who's already on the hottest seat in the world, and now we're going, and so Mr. Ross makes a private call to Mike and goes, "Hey, Mike, what's he doing?" He goes, "These guys that Chris Greer got me, they can't play. I mean, how's that going to go?" I think we lost him. I was wondering why he got so quiet, man. That was Omar getting very quiet there for a second. Yeah, I am. Not giving up on them, man. They're not. And hey, man, if the confidence is shot, then I agree. If confidence is shot and everybody, your assistant D-line coach and Austin Clark goes, "Hey, man, we got to work on getting it back." That wasn't the message I got before the game yesterday. And then Zeke Biggers, do you start? If it's going to be like this, we might as well play him if it's about the future. It's bad. Dead last, 174 yards a game, 5.6 average. It is, it's bad right now. Nobody's questioning that's a problem. Like, right. And I'm not looking for other people to blame. And, you know, I get it. That's number one. Nobody would argue when you're 32. And a big number. And by the way, the one on the other side is we're just not good on the D and offensive lines right now. It's not good enough. Not good enough. Anyway.
You were saying, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, but
No, we were just talking about Chris Greer drafting those guys. You don't think he can let Mike just give up on all those young guys, do you? On the D-line.
You should be yes. Everybody should be fighting for their own personal survival at this point. Like, do you think Mike doesn't have three more games with this offensive line playing like this? Like, do you think I'm going to let Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips take me down? Like, do you really think that, you know? And a lot of people think that Anthony Weaver is going to be the interim head coach. The defense is the number one problem on this team. So why would I be elevating a defensive coordinator who's really the worst problem, biggest problem on the team? I don't know how do you fix that.
I'm guessing if Anthony Weaver could be really honest about the situation, I'm guessing he's not overly excited about the group he has, right? I mean, I guess, you know, and every coach thinks you can coach him up. Austin, coach him up.
Yeah.
Joe, coach him up. Hey, let's coach him up and get after it. And then you're going, now you're sitting here five games in and things are getting worse, not better. And that Carolina team ran the ball like they're the Eagles last year. Really?
But let me ask you a question, Joe. When you have a problem, just like when we had the offensive line problem, you saw that they claim Cole Strange, right?
Yeah, and he's starting.
You have a defensive problem. What have you done to address it?
Nothing. Unless you make those drastic changes that we're talking about, which I don't think they're going to do, and that's put more big bodies on the defensive line. But I don't think
they got to. They have. I don't know why Zeke Biggers hasn't played at this point.
I'm with you at that. Hey, man, what we're getting? Why not put old Zeke out there and let him grow? Let's see what he can do. I agree.
Like you're not going to do anything defensively until you start the run. And at this point, these rookies have had to have lost their confidence.
And I told you, if that's a deal, and Austin Clark says, which again, you know, it's a bad look for those guys too. Like, damn, yeah. You know, we're trying to coach them up. Now I see that guys kind of not, you know, now they haven't had success and they've been so good at Michigan mm-hmm. and dominating. And God, we took them and we're so excited. We got handpicked the guy we actually wanted. That was it. Kenneth Grannon. Oh my God, Kenneth. It's just going to take you a while, if ever, man. And you start worrying about that stuff. I agree. By the way, the other problem is, with this being able to run the ball, when they do decide to throw it, you got guys open everywhere. Because you're so worried about the run, right? Yeah. You get frozen up and guys are running corner routes and
you're blitzing. And Anthony Weaver said something. He's like, he had to justify why he's blitzing so much, because that's not his way generally. And he's like, I'm blitzing to stop the run. And I thought to myself, ooh, that's problem number one.
Yeah.
You're blitzing to stop the run?
Run blitzes, man. Called run blitzes. Guys hitting gaps where you're getting gapped, where your linemen are getting blown up. Yeah.
Ooh, it's a recipe for disaster, Joe.
No, it's bad everywhere. You worried about this thing getting a little shaky? I know Mike right away said, no, we're together. I checked the room out. It's like, hey, we're all good, Mike.
Mike is delusional at this point, unfortunately. I think we're at the severing point. You know, a loss to the Chargers and this thing is going to start unraveling real fast.
Omar, you actually, I think, you know, people at the top listen to what you say. What do you think happens if this continues the losing different ways, but same problems? What happens? Where does Stephen Ross, who I know I think he truly likes Mike, and I know he loves Chris. So what happens going forward? Keep everybody, or?
I mean, everybody is going to get whacked eventually. The problem is, if you whack somebody during the season, does it fix any of the issues or problems that you have?
Can it get any worse?
Yeah, it could get worse. Yeah, it actually can get worse. It very well can get worse. Terrell Dotson just, you know, suffered a head injury. Head injuries are never good one way or the other. I don't think he's just going to magically pop up as a linebacker and play next week. So we'll get to see probably Willie Gay step up. You know, I know KJ Britt played last week and he's probably better against the run, but you know, Willie Gay is going to get opportunity and maybe KJ gets opportunity, but you asked if it can get worse. Joe, it can get worse. I promise you it can get worse.
Do they try to run the ball against the Chargers? Do we try it?
See, that's the thing. I don't know if teams just said, hey, no more Tyreek Hill. We ain't got to worry about that. Let's just contain Devon Achane. Let's just stop the run. And I noticed early in the game they were using Devon in a lot of those Tyreek Hill packages.
Yep.
Ali wasn't giving them anything from the run game standpoint. I don't know if this was scheme. I haven't looked at the film yet. I don't know if this was just a different approach, scheme related. Carolina said they didn't do anything extra or different. But, yeah. The recipe against Miami, take away the run, make them one-dimensional, and they should be easy to beat.
I got so many things to talk about real quickly. How do you explain Darren Waller not catching the ball in the second half after the first half he had, including two right down the middle? You're going to tell me what took it away again? I want to hear this one because is it too deep, Joe, again? Yeah.
Honestly, Joe, I think you just ran out of plays. Darren Waller, what has he got, 25, 26 plays in his arsenal right now? Do you think he has a whole playbook?
well, whatever it is, he's seen in his life, all the routes, he's run them all.
Yeah,
there's got to
yeah.
be a way as I
yeah.
clearly becoming your second best receiver to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt
that he gets shut out. And what kind of adjustment could they have made to shut out somebody that good?
I'm surprised he's that good. That's one of the bright spots of this season.
Yeah.
However, I will remind you that he's practiced for what, all of 2 weeks on a limited basis.
No, I got you. If it's limited snap, snap count, I get that. Hey, real quickly
I think Mike ran out of plays for Darren Waller. Okay. I really think they utilized us about as much as they got.
Okay. And then Jalen Wright, not active for that game. What's going on there? It wasn't too many months ago that they were pumped about him during minicamp. What happened?
He suffered a knee injury. I don't think he's all the way back.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, Ollie Gordon is better at this point. Now, why would you go into a game with only two running backs? Maybe that's a special teams issue.
Either that or they just knew they're going to throw the hell out of it and not run much, because that's what they did. Hey, thank you, Omar. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, guys.
All right. Omar Kelly joining us this morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Logically, a game like this, where you have the emotions, you come out, you're ahead, and then all of a sudden what happens. How do you dig out of that and motivate and get ready for it? Because the game's not going to stop.
The one takeaway that I did receive during the game is there was not splintering, there was not phases being frustrated with each other. Everybody wanted to make a play. Wanted to play 11 people as one. And I think that losses are tough, but who really cares? Like, that we deserve for it to feel terrible. And in that, you find out exactly who people are. I have confidence in who the people are in the locker room. and the coaching staff, and you know, led by me, we have to. No one cares about our feelings, and yeah, that is a hard one to deal with, but it should be. Just as if not more for everybody that decides to cheer for us and turn on the TV. So that's not acceptable. Will never be. And when you have when you win plus minus and you have a 3-score lead, you have to lean on an opponent in both on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage, and we were incapable. So I'm going to get back to the drawing board and fix that immediately.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel, our guy, Kim Bocamper, asking a lot of questions yesterday. He is obviously a little frustrated. Guy's been with the organization for 50 years since got drafted down here in the first round many, many years ago to what it is right now. It's a lot of frustration, a lot of people that have been affiliated with this thing, and it's just the old, here we go again. What's Mr. Ross going to do? Is anything going to change? Are we just going to keep saying the same things and having the same results? Here we go again. Nobody quit. Yeah, I don't get it. Nobody's going to quit. I mean, you know, you plan for a check and future and want to keep playing and all those things. But it's bad. There should be nobody mad about anything said or written about you or said about you on social media. If you're in there and you're part of that training group, by the way, that whole training facility too, I'm not talking about the trainers, and I'm not talking about the great food they get and all those marks they get, has nothing to do with that. The guys in the front office, led by Chris Greer, the coaching staff led by Mike McDaniel, and the players. I don't know. I don't know how you turn around. Right now, we got some deep, serious problems. We can't run the ball, and we can't stop the run. That's a big problem. This all goes back. We're going to be more physical, and we're going to put more emphasis on being more physical, and we're going to draft a guy in the second round on one side and a veteran on the other, one injured and one really struggling. And then the defensive line, going to be some growing pains, and you got to stick with them. God, I know. Can't believe I said it again. I can't wait to hear Omar, too. He's going to join us a little bit later on here, but the young guys have officially hit the wall, but they're not the only ones. Oh, no. There's plenty to go around when you run the ball like that. And by the way, it's not some, they're getting beat on trick plays and stuff. It's running mostly between the tackles. Staying with blocks, a little different blocking schemes, but they're hitting between the tackles. And the holes opened up again yesterday. And you had a backup running back. Rico Dowdle probably going to be player of the week, right, Woody? 23 carries, 206 yards.
Yes, Joe.
Nine-yard average.
Conversation, yes.
It's
look, man, it gets frustrating every week. You could play the same comments over and over again. We got to look in the mirror. We got, you know, the guys in the locker room.
It's all getting old.
It's the same crap every week, Joe. And I understand, like, what you're trying to do. You're trying to think of things like what they can do better and how they can fix different. This team sucks. They can't fix any of these things, or they would have by now.
Yes.
Right? You're 5 games into this thing, and this is what they are. They are one of, if not the worst team in that league.
They are one of the 7-1-4 teams, and of course the Jets are the only team left that hasn't won a game. I would just say this. Veteran, you're right. Veteran players, what you see is what you get, man. The guys have been around. If they're playing well, Waddle's probably going to keep playing well. The Darren Waller story is truly, it's too bad. I mean, we couldn't get him a ball in the second. It's incredible. Somebody to tell me I can't get you the ball. Can you imagine telling Darren Waller to half, hey, sorry, I couldn't get you the ball in the second half. We couldn't figure out anything. Wait a sec. All those guys that got some form of coordinator behind their name, and we can't figure out a way to get him a ball when a free release, 6'6", it can run like that? Sorry. We're going to all meet again. I'd like to see her at some of those meetings from all those brilliant people that know a lot more about football than I do.
And here's the thing. I know fans want blood this morning, but it's like, What are you even going to do at this point, man? Like, you can't fire Anthony Weaver the job. Like,
no, you can't.
Defense is horrific.
You can't fire your guys.
You let him run the thing?
You can't fire your guys. You're right.
It's just so you're just dug into it at this point. But, like, man, you got to go through that. You're 5 games into this thing. You got a long way to go here of this mess.
All right. Well, I realize that, but let's talk about so let's talk about how to get changes.
But this was the easy part of your schedule too.
Yeah,
these were like you circled Carolina.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I can go back to last week. Hey, listen, what you were saying about Carolina?
They're bad. They're not a very good team.
Told me to take me to Catch and Cut. See Bo out there.
I think I
although
did
Bo
say
seems
that.
A little bit riled up in that press conference.
He might punch you in the face. So I know I'd he leave may. That alone know, for a second.
I'll stay away from all Dolphins.
But guys. But I got to tell you, yeah, man, that's a terrible loss. They're a really bad team. They are a really bad team, and they ran. I think they were running for about 100 yards a game. They were struggling. Everything, a passing game. You saw the quarterback.
They probably put all their stats up in that one game too, right? Where they had that win.
It's just and they're down 17-0. You're thinking, oh, this game get healthy, fourth quarter, maybe get some different guys in and just feel good coming back home for the Chargers. And maybe, you know, maybe you can get that thing going. They got their own problems now. They've lost a couple of games in a row. But no. Oh no. So here's the thing, because everybody been texting me this morning and last night, hey, something's got to be done, man. Something. They're not going to keep doing this. So until they feel it from their fan base, and it affects that part.
But what more can fans do though? Like, I feel like the fans voiced their frustrations last year and the owner
and he
was
still
like,
came back.
No. We're going to do it again, and it's kind of funny. So every time the Dolphins, they tweet out the final score, every game they blow, and I'll look underneath. I just like to read some of the comments, see what people are saying, and there's always a few people that will post that thing that Ross sent out.
Oh, from last year?
Yeah.
That one we got hit with after the game.
Hey, man, I feel so bad for this fan base because it is another year that you have to go through this crap. And
so Ross was there yesterday.
Was he? He was there again. He's watching this stuff.
No. So like he so, you know, and jeez. I keep hearing he's not happy. He's not happy. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Nobody's happy. No one that likes this team that's grown up or been around this team or just taken on this team and like the colors of the uniform or something. Nobody can be happy with this thing, man.
The problem is, what are you going to do now? Like firing Mike. I mean, even if you did that today, if they came out this morning, like Mike's out, are people going to be happy? Like, do you think it doesn't change anything? I think if anything, it'll look worse. I don't think this is all on Mike, to be quite honest with you.
No, I don't
think he's been calling offensively. He's been calling, I don't know, decent enough games, but
no, yesterday. Yeah.
For a while he was calling.
No, he went through, he did. He's gone through a couple of games where he called really good games. But so now, to your point, and it's a good one, Woody, let's not forget about Chris Greer. Let's not
fire
Chris.
What does that do except for make fans happy for a day? Like, and then you got to get back to reality of that you have a crap team.
Yeah, but who
firing Chris is not going to make things better right now.
Oh, right now, nothing you can do.
Of course, Chris is not going to survive this year, but like, again, I just at this point in time, what are we doing besides just like helping the fans
trying to
get through this process,
trying to figure out. I agree. Listen,
Chris Greer
can
never be involved in another personnel decision in this organization. He can never be involved again.
I would not allow him to make any moves of any kind. I don't want to hear.
If they're going to start trading guys off before the deadline, if they're going to start doing stuff like that, it needs to be someone else doing it. That'd be the only reason I get rid of the guy. But again, like,
by the way, they let him make some kind of move that's fairly big.
No more save your ass moves.
Yeah.
No more, man.
No more that, hey, how about pulling this one off? And by the way, the timing of Cam Smith getting rid of him was really good to wait till you got a win in there and sneak it in there. That was,
these guys are
great PR.
They came back with a significantly worse team than they did. They had the year before.
They did. And you know what?
They sold you on a bunch of crap.
Some people saw it. Some people did see it. And for those of you that didn't drink the Kool-Aid, you're right.
You realize Chris is one of the all-time salesmen, right? Whatever it is that he has been able to sell Mr. Ross on, who was a smart man, obviously.
Well, I will tell you.
Whatever he has sold Mr. Ross on over these last few years.
This is what I always hear with Chris Greer and that beautiful smile and that really friendly personality. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you had a popularity contest at the whole facility and the whole organization, Chris might finish top five.
Yeah. Well, what did it say in that letter? Guy. What did it say? Everyone gets along or something, or the working relationship?
No, I get it.
Or...
His relationship, and I think Stephen Ross from the outside in has given him, like, I get Mr. Ross that you like him. I get it. I mean, I get it, man. Everybody likes him. Everybody likes Chris. But man, it's just time. It's time. I mean, this ain't working. And you're right. You're right on some of this, man. I agree.
And look, man, too, you've been left in the dust by teams like New England, who are in a complete rebuild mode.
Way, that's
they've completely passed your ass
Woody,
off.
That's a great point. They went all in on free agency and they went all in on the draft last year. And look at the results. They took a tough loss a couple weeks ago, turned over five times in a tough last second loss. Look at how they bounced back. They beat the you know what out of Carolina and they went into Buffalo and they friggin' won. Buffalo turns the ball over three times. They went in with confidence, that young quarterback.
They're in the playoffs, by the way. Like, if the season is five games in, but, you know, I'm just saying they are in the playoffs.
You know,
they have a winning record.
That was a little dogpiling move on you.
No, it's not.
No, it is. You win five games.
Like, that team should not be passed.
You're the fat kid that just jumped on the pile to put so the poor guy at the bottom is, like, crying. Please.
By the way, the Dolphins deserve every piece of dogpiling they get today.
All right, we got to go to break here. Yeah, no question about it. It was brutal. It was brutal, and whatever. The best you can do is I have a good feeling for my guys. They haven't quit on me. Everybody seems to want to get this. I'm like, great. We've heard that. That's great. What are we going to do about it?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dolphins, they lost 27-24. I mean, a colossal embarrassment. They were up 27-0. They cannot stop anybody. The backup running back, who did have 1,000 yards last year, but Chuba Hubbard was out, yeah. And the backup running back, but it doesn't matter. Like, I honestly, you probably could put any running back there right now, and they're probably going for at least a hundy. This guy went for two. He went for two on the Dolphins. They can't stop a nosebleed. It's really depressing watching them play defense.
Running the ball, and it's up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough watch.
And it's unfortunate because that's where the young fella is. He's getting pushed around a little bit. Not because of his ability, but because he's not very technical. So until he learns how to use his hands and all of the techniques that go with that position, they're going to get hands on him and move him.
Yeah.
And we don't really and can't afford the time that it's taken him to develop, to be honest, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was so embarrassing. Like, it was like Schlaer that's on the broadcast, and he goes, I don't understand why they just run it to the right every time. And he was getting furious because every time that they didn't, he's like, I don't know what they're doing. They should just keep doing that. And every time they did, it was 18, 15, 18 yards. They were just getting gashed every single time. And then Bryce Young, who looked legitimately like the worst quarterback in the league to start the game. He looked terrified to be on the field. He like gave up the football because Bradley Chubb was near him. Then he threw a terrible interception. And then you're just like, oh, this guy's cooked. The Dolphins are going to have an easy day. And nope, somehow they blew it. Yeah, I'm pissed, but I'm just embarrassed. It's like embarrassing to watch the football team because you just feel helpless. Like they just can't dictate anything on their terms on the game. You know?
They can't finish games. So here's what it looks like. And this happens a lot. This is not just a Mike McDaniel thing. There are a number of teams that script the first 10 to 15 plays. And those plays work well. And your team looks great, right? And then the other team adjusts to that. And you don't have the complimentary plays. Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? Here's the twist we're going to put on those plays in those situations. And usually good offensive teams, it's very fluid. So you kind of have an idea of how you would defend it. And you have an adjustment ready to go. But it seems like they run their top 15 plays. It looks great. And then when it's time to, in pitching, it would be what? The third time through the lineup.
Yeah.
Somebody hyperventilates with a pitcher, right? Kind of that thing. That's what it's like watching it. That, okay, what are the adjustments? What, you know they're going to react to what we're doing. Let's have a counter. I was really shocked when Humphrey says they had rolling Tua out and they sat him back in the pocket.
It was very annoying.
We were moving forward with this.
But also it's like, God, like how is Darren Waller already their second best weapon? Like,
because he's tall. And by the way, this is not defending anybody. This is not anything. This is a 100% fact. Tua's ball he threw to Waddle. Waddle jumped yesterday. The timing on his jump was horrible. I'm not saying he would have caught it, but he could have got both hands on it.
You're talking about the one because, that got deflected?
Yes, at the end of the game.
Okay.
When he got to the ball, he was on his way down.
Why does he always throw high to Waddle, though? Like, it feels like Waddle has to jump for everything. I know Waddle's not.
Keep in mind, one of the problems is you're throwing over somebody.
Yeah.
And depending on how you're throwing over somebody, you want to put some zip on it, it might have a little bit of height.
Look.
That being said, like, every game that we've watched offensively, they've had a set game plan of how to attack that team. And if it didn't work, right, there were really no adjustments. Like right now, if you're getting pressure up the middle, you should already have a handful of plays that roll to a out. You just did it. That offense doesn't go away. You don't have new offense every week. Okay? When you see that, hey, they're starting to compress to the middle of the field, right? Because of Waller. Hey, you have plays. You spend a whole week throwing it outside. You can just go to that.
Yeah, he'll throw outside like 2 yards and then it'll get tackled.
Right. I don't understand. And Tobin?
What? What, dude?
If I see one more Alec Ingold,
oh my God,
screen pass,
I thought of you immediately.
You have the single-handed fastest guys on offense collectively in the league.
Hey, objectively, they dialed up a good play. Old Stonehands just blew it.
Because it's Alec Ingold!
Handsome Daffy, what do you got for us, buddy?
First off, good morning to all of y'all.
Good morning.
What's up?
Tobin, I would like to know what's the ratio. Whenever you say don't lose, a team always lose.
That's fair.
I would love to see the stat for that.
I don't have the analytics on that, but I will get the research department on it.
Hey.
Right. Handsome, let me tell you this.
Let me tell you this. See, what you have to realize about Tobin buys and cashes a lot of checks. He do not keep receipts. So a lot of times, some of the crap he says, we have to remind him by replaying it. Otherwise, he will move on.
I don't remember. So I can't believe J-Fig kept the list.
Right. So
I tell
you, by the time this week's game come, he don't remember all the crazy things he said about what need to happen this week.
I think this upcoming week was a Tua duel, but who gives a rat's ass? What do you got for us, handsome dad?
Man, I just wanted to say that the D-line, like you said, I agree, they can't stop the run. The O-line, man, I can't even blame Tua this game. Tua had a good game, man. It's the O-line, too, man. Like, if you give him time, when I was watching, like, he actually can pick you apart. But he don't have the time. So, again, that falls on who? Chris Greer. Again.
Yep.
Like, that's the problem, man. That's all I got. Because, I mean, other than that, the Dolphins had a solid game. But, again, the D-line and the O-line, that's the problem.
Which
every good football team has. Hey, you want to know what's crazy?
What's that?
Just when you think you're going to give some kudos to Chris Greer with those two cornerbacks.
Ugh.
Now all of a sudden they got grabby and touchy-feely. Every other play was pass interference. I'm like, are y'all going to ever guard him or are you just going to tackle him?
His whole plan, no, I think it felt like Jack Jones. And look, that Tet McMillan's a monster. He looks like he's going to be a really good player.
I mean, but still, don't be out.
His entire plan was, I'm going to just try and get away with this. And one time he did. Like, one time they were like,
he got him on the shirt.
They caught him on the shirt, and they threw the flag, and then they're like, never mind. I'm like, huh? Well, I was like, what? How did they get away with that one? That was crazy.
On the interception.
Yeah.
Because when dude went to jump, he had – and listen, let me just say this. There's a cool thing that teams used to do, and it's funny. If you're a defender – and you're playing at home, always wear white gloves.
Oh.
You know why? Because the other team is usually always wearing white. And then you can be a little grabby.
Call that the Mickey
what
Mouse.
I noticed was, dude had on a white t-shirt with white gloves. You can't see it.
We'll get to the rest of your calls. I'll see you guys on hold. If you guys can maybe, we got to just take a break. But first, got to tell you about
I did see Marcel Louis Jacques tweet out Mike McDaniel on his conversation with Stephen Ross after the game. Now, I know Stephen Ross was at the game in Carolina yesterday, and so apparently they did speak after the game. The quote from Mike McDaniel is, he was really frustrated. We talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, and that was really the extent of it.
It's bigger than X and O game plan to get ready for the Chargers.
I mean, I wonder if Stephen Ross said to him, so how are you preparing to get ready for the Chargers next Sunday? Or if Mike McDaniel just looked at him and said, yeah, I don't have a lot to say after this one. We just got to get ready for the Chargers. And then they just kind of went their separate ways. Like, I'd like to know more details of that particular conversation.
Yeah. 1-4, losing to mediocre teams. It's so we beat the Jets, and they haven't won a game yet, and we lose to the Panthers. And the Patriots beat the Bills. That was just a stab in the gut last night.
Well, watching Drake May
play
that way. What is he, year two? Year two, I guess, yes. Right?
Year two.
I mean,
year one of Vrabel. Yep. They're five games into year one of Vrabel. They've already beaten the Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium with Drake May, and they've done something to a Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer have never been able to do. That's win a primetime game, but go into Buffalo and beat the Bills in their own house. Think about that. They've already surpassed the Dolphins in five games of the Mike Vrabel era. In five games.
That hurt me on the plane watching.
Yeah.
Watching a reset of what isn't this is Vrabel's first year.
First year.
He's already beat the Bills in Buffalo, the Super Bowl favorite Bills, or Super Bowl favored Bills in Buffalo. Right after we lose to the Carolina Panthers that have a third grader playing quarterback.
This is why Omar Kelly keeps coming on QAM. And you guys know I love Omar. But he keeps saying no matter what happens, you win. Because if the Dolphins win a game, they win a game. But if they lose, you're one step closer to what's inevitable, which is what a lot of fans want, guys. And that's a new head coach and a new regime. And I feel strongly against that notion because this shouldn't have taken five games this year for the obvious. This should have been done last year. This should have been done at the end of last season. And Stephen Ross waited again too long obvious.
Bear Jackson in the Herald. That's like been his point for a while is, hey, Stephen Ross, can you please care more about the product you're putting out there? And I'm not telling you whether I agree with Barry Jackson or not, but he has been adamant. You can't witness what you're witnessing since you took over the team and think patience. There's a tweet. Let me get this tweet for a second. It was from Barry Jackson. I thought it was interesting. This is 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, by the way. I'll couch it as that. 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored brought to you by the Lexus TX. Room for all your passions in three rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. You can hear Game Day Uncensored with Tobin, Solana, Omar Kelly at 9 a.m. Sunday. Is there a new addition to the show, too? Did I make that up, or did you say that on the air the other day?
I think I announced it on Friday. Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will have Omar. We'll have Perk. That's all happening this upcoming Sunday.
All right, cool. 9 a.m., 104.3 FM, WQAM. Let me find this tweet from Barry Jackson. He posted, patience isn't always a virtue. Kraft knew Belichick was done and dumped him. Knew Mayo was a mistake and corrected it after a year. Remember, they had Gerard Mayo for one season. Knew Mayo was a mistake, corrected it after a year, and hired a coach who exudes the toughness that the Dolphins have lacked for years. And there's something to be said for that because I'm a proponent of being patient. I'm a proponent of stability is what makes organizations great. I point to the Heat with that all the time, right? The stability, even when LeBron James was saying, hey, maybe Spo's not the guy. Remember year one, the stability for me makes an organization great. And the Marlins have not had stability. Like you can go on and on. The Panthers finally seem to have some stability, and they're going out of their way to re-sign guys. Connor McDavid, by the way, re-signed with Edmonton today for two more seasons. There was some notion after the ouster that he would leave, but he is not. But Barry Jackson saying, okay, patience not always a virtue. Sometimes you have to recognize that you're bleeding. The fans are unhappy. The product is inferior, and it ain't getting any better.
Yeah. Like the stability, Hulk, but staying married in a terrible marriage just to be stable. Like stability, something like you have to be good at it. You have to be helpful. You have to be loving in that marriage. You can't just be there to be there because it's because we've been there for 5 years. Vrabel, what he just did, and it's 5 games, but they beat the Bills in Buffalo. What Shane Steichen, this is his third year, and they're one of the best teams in the AFC right now, 4-1. Like, it was 23. We always bring up 2023, 70-point game, number one offense, all that. It's starting to look like that was the McDaniel outlier more than what to expect.
But look how many teams.
Because I thought that was more representative of who they were going to be. I didn't think that was the outlier, but you're correct. It is the outlier.
Crowder, look how many teams. Like, we can point to, and I know the circumstances are different everywhere. I'm not trying to say that, you know, because one team had success X way, that the Dolphins can have success that same way. Look, you have to get lucky. Things have to go your way. And for the Dolphins, a lot of time, Hawk, Barry Jackson points this out, there's also a case of just a lot of unlucky bleep as well. But Crowder, the Denver Broncos, the team the Dolphins put up 70, new coach, new quarterback, they've committed to building the defense, they just beat the Eagles on the road. We've talked about the Lions how many times, building within the trenches, going with a new coach that they trust, and now they're in a Super Bowl window. The Commanders got rid of everybody in that organization, and within 2 years, a bit of luck, they hit on the quarterback, but they put themselves in that position. Now they're Super Bowl contenders. The Patriots with Drake May, and they got their head coach in Mike Vrabel. Now they look like they're a team that, at the very least, is going to contend for the playoffs for the next few years. There's example after example of teams who realize, we're spinning our wheels, let's jump off early and salvage the situation. But the Dolphins never do. The Dolphins in my lifetime just wait until it's too late to get off the wagon. And you're in that position again, and you're 1-5. You have awful structure, and your contract situation is crippling. Now what?
And to bring up something Hawk said, I thought about it. When you said that Robert Kraft, he saw 1 year Jared Mayo and was like, no, that's not how it is. But Hawk, think about what he saw for the last 20. He watched what Belichick could do. He saw what great coaches do with organizations. So when Mayo came in, he said, that's not how it's done. What has Stephen Ross been looking at? Stephen Ross has seen Sperano, Philbin, Gase, Flores. He doesn't know what a good coach looks like.
He's looking, though. And he was trying to go get Tom Brady. He looked at what New England was doing, and he said, you know what? I just want to do what they're doing. Come meet me on my boat.
He wanted Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson. Seems like he knows talent when he sees it.
But the Buccaneers missed out. Or I'm sorry, the Buccaneers, after the Dolphins missed out on Tom Brady, got Tom Brady, won a Super Bowl, and since then had been perennial playoff contenders with Baker, Mother Bleepin' Mayfield.
Yeah, but they did. Like, do you attribute that to great front office acumen?
Yes.
Or did Baker Mayfield happen to be available after they lost Tom Brady and they took a flyer on Baker Mayfield the way someone takes a flyer on Carson Wentz or Geno Smith or whatever, Sam Darnold? Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Like, do you think that they had tapped Baker Mayfield as their next great quarterback, who, by the way, could be my favorite player in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
He was so much fun yesterday to watch. Yeah. Again, there's some backstory video circulating on social media because he was getting into it before the game with some of the Seahawks fans, and he found them after the game to give them a little more abuse after what they witnessed out on the field. But I think I saw Peter Schrager this morning on First Take saying Baker Mayfield might be the MVP right now of the league. Might be the front runner for league MVP right now.
And Daniel Jones is right behind him. Think about that.
But again, like, do you, and obviously Shane Steichen chose Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson, which I thought was not a great decision at the beginning of the season. But again, to my point, Solana, like, getting Daniel Jones after he's done with the Giants, getting Baker Mayfield after he's done with Cleveland and Carolina. I don't even know if he was somewhere else after that. Like, is that great front office acumen, or are you just stumbling into something lucky?
You're right. They took a flyer on Baker. It worked. But Hawk,
yeah,
I think they can also look at guys they didn't take flyers on and say, you know what, that's not going to work. And I think the Buccaneers were in a situation where they're like, let's move on. New era has to start now. And that, to me, is as important as hitting on a flyer. Sometimes you miss on a flyer when you know it's time to turn the page. And I think that's one of the biggest shortcomings of Chris Greer and Stephen Ross, more than anything, is that they don't know when to turn the page, when to flip the script and say, this is done, we must move forward.
Somebody texts in, to your point, Solana, the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson, they ate $40 million because they recognized he's not for us. We're done with him. Mm-hmm. And they're in a pretty good spot right now. Denver had a nice little comeback yesterday afternoon in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia.
It doesn't mean Denver is what you want to be. Like, I'm not saying the Dolphins should aspire to be the Denver Broncos, but wouldn't you rather not be the Miami Dolphins and be the Denver Broncos right now? Since that 70-point performance where the Dolphins beat the Broncos, look up the records between the two teams. And the Broncos are in a much better spot and have been significantly better. They're building something. The Dolphins' window closed 2 years ago, and they're still like, oh, well, maybe it's still there. No,
but again, when you say they're building something, has Denver won a playoff game?
They beat the Eagles, and they were in the playoffs last year. They just beat the Eagles on the road.
No. I got you. I'm just asking if they won a playoff game, because I could make the analogy that what's his name?
I'm Bo Nix?
Blank on his name.
Or Sean Payton?
No. Sean Payton. Sean Payton and Bo Nix are on this trajectory that it looked like Mike McDaniel and Tua were on, which is they're winning games, and it looks like that, because that is the case for the beginning of the era.
Yeah. But I guess it's so much younger than our era. We're 5 years in.
No. We're beyond, like, but yeah. I'm saying the beginning, where Bo Nix and Sean Payton are right now, I think we may have looked at, if you do it, I don't know how many games they've been together, right? Is it a full season last season?
Yeah, so 2022.
Did he play the season before that? Did Bo Nix play the season before that?
Is this year three of Bo Nix? I thought he was
I think it's year three of Sean Payton, but I'm not certain it's year three of Bo Nix being the starter.
I thought Bo Nix was a rookie last year. And he started last year.
He started from game one?
Yeah, remember, last year, Russ was in Pittsburgh. They jumped off the Russ train 2 seasons prior in 2023.
But hadn't they had Bo Nix on the roster that season with Russ?
No, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I believe, I'm looking it up, they drafted him last year, 12th overall, which was one of the reasons they jumped ship on Russ, because he was going to put them in better positions to win. And they're saying, no. We don't want to win. We want a better draft pick.
22 starts, 17 last year, 5 this year, 13-9.
Yeah.
And beating the defending champions.
Right. But all I would say to you is look at Tua and McDaniel 22 games in together. You might have felt the same way that you do about Peyton and Bo Nix right now.
But about Peyton, Peyton is a Super Bowl champion.
Correct. He's already got the goods.
And they said he just passed, who did he pass? Bill Parcells with wins as a head coach with the win against the Eagles. Mike McDaniel wears nice shoes on the sideline and pretty glasses.
Look good in San Fran, man. Maybe we just go out and get Debo.
If the window is closed, so you said it, Hawk, the window's closed. I believe it. I'll say it. The window's closed on this roster quarterback head coach combo. And I think Chris Greer is attached to this. What are we doing now? What are we trying to do? Get a lower draft?
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question. You know, for me, for my money, and I know listeners aren't going to want to hear this, I don't think Tua is a problem right now. I think you have much greater problems. I think it's McDaniel and Greer. I think Tua was pretty decent yesterday. Again, I know the final drive where you need to come back and win, even though you've already come back and won, if the defense can stop Bryce Young. Tua had a great bomb to Jaylen Waddle. It was beautiful. People complain, oh, it was short. What's the difference? Guy waltzed into the end zone. Tua on that final drive over. There should have been a pick on that final drive. We'd have gone bananas. Jaylen Waddle actually ended up playing defense on that errant throw and was able to kind of bat it down. But I don't think Tua, for me, is like this urgent problem right now. The biggest problem with him is he can't extend a play. And you notice it when you watch other quarterbacks. You notice how they're able to extend a play even by the threat of running. That's my biggest problem with Tua right now.
I watched Bryce Young roll out to create that throw to the sideline late in the third quarter, early fourth. I watched Drake May and Josh Allen, they running around like Michael Vick.
How about the Drake May dime at the end that he probably shouldn't have even thrown?
Crazy.
That was incredible.
On the move.
Yep.
Tua doesn't do anything on the move. All the top Bo Nix, watching that game. Jalen Hurts, watching that game. If we go through the league, you name all the quarterbacks that you're impressed by, they do stuff on the move. That third down sack that Tua took was Eben and Yaya just got ran past like he was a baby sitting in a stroller. He just balls up.
Yeah.
He doesn't even try to escape, evade, duck, spin, rip, disappears. You know, act like jump at him like you're gonna punch him and see if he flinches. Do something. The guy comes, he balls up. 4th and 17.
He can't though. He can't. Because even on plays where he extends the drive, Baker Mayfield is putting his shoulder down. Sam Darnold even is putting his shoulder down. And they're not afraid of getting concussed. Maybe they will, but they're not afraid of it. Tua is diving or falling short, giving himself up 3-4 yards before even the idea of getting contact on a play because he's being told to by everybody around him and because he's looking out for his livelihood, which I respect. But it's not conducive to winning a football game. It's just not.
Not even. And I'm with you too. He doesn't want to get hit. And honestly, I've argued that he shouldn't want to get hit because if he gets hit now Quinn Ewers or Zach Wilson are in the game, we're gonna look really, really bad. They're not throwing for 350 yards. Neither one of them are throwing. We'll get beat by 20 if they were in the game. I don't think he's athletic enough right now to do what those quarterbacks, not even the fear of injury.
It's just
he cannot. He's not physically capable to do what Bo Nix, Drake May, Josh Allen.
He's talked about it, though.
Which, by the way, is okay when you have protection and a running game. Like, it's okay to be that guy if all the other pieces fall into place. But if you're running for your life the entire time and you can't run for your life, that's a problem.
You run for your life with ankle braces and knee braces on. The only guys that can play Tua's game that have the protection too that I see, Jared Goff is not athletic at all, and Matt Stafford doesn't even try to move around.
Yeah, but those guys can get hit, dude. Those guys take hits.
By the way, though, free money, Tua rushing over, hit again.
Yeah.
Had it at over 1.5 yesterday. He had 5 yards on one little run up the middle that stopped too short, by the way. But still, he got his 5 yards.
Hold five like it's impressive. 5 yards.
5 yards. It was another green ticket in my wallet. Here's what I would say, though, to your point about the defense can't stop anything. Then why punt at the end? Now, that's a Mike McDaniel decision. He's supposed to be a gutsy gambler guy. And I know, what was it, 4th and 17?
4th and 17.
If you know, we all watched the same game. If you know that they cannot stop, this is hard to say, the Carolina Panthers offense, why do you give them the ball back? Why? Even though you have 3 timeouts. because all they need is one first down. So why do you give them the ball back? And I understand, fourth and 17, I think I saw that there's a 2% greater chance of getting the ball back or scoring, winning that game if you punt the ball. But, man, if you watch that game, and then the other thing is if you are going to punt, hey, maybe hustle the punt team out there so you're not lollygagging and the punt's coming, you know, with like a minute left to go. I thought it was a collapse. I thought it was an epic collapse. I'd watched it a season ago with Eberflus and the Bears where, and we've watched it with Mario with the Canes, to be quite honest. There's times where, you know, just at the end of the game, somebody looks like they're outclassed on the sidelines. And I thought Mike McDaniel, I just felt like by the end of that game, he didn't know if he was coming or going. He couldn't believe what he witnessed. Now, it is shocking how they cannot run the ball and shocking how well the other team can run the ball on them. And so I can understand, I guess, at some point, maybe just acknowledging to yourself as a head coach, a coordinator, hey, we don't have the personnel. I can bang my head against the wall all I want. We don't have the personnel. So what's the difference? I punt, I go for it on fourth and 17. What's the I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. You know, he watched that errant pass to Jaylen Waddle on that final drive where you needed it. So he's probably thinking to himself, oh, fourth and 17, I'm going to get a receiver wide open and Tua's going to overthrow him by a mile. Or, okay, I punt it, but I know what's going to happen. We're going to give up a first down and there goes any chance of winning the game. And the only way that we won't give up a first down is if we cheat, which is what Jack Jones did. He got flagged for it that time.
Hawk, the real reason they punted is because McDaniel knows in order for our receivers to run 17 yards down the field, we need at least what, Crowder? 1.5, 2 seconds? You don't have that with Larry Borum and Cole Strange and Patrick Paul and Jonah Savainaya, who might be the worst player in the NFL right now. The worst player in the NFL.
He's certainly the worst at his position.
By far.
He made, 91? I don't still know the guy's name. He was looked like Warren Sapp. He just ran around Savainaya every time the ball was snapped. We are mashed potatoes putting snack pack on both lines of scrimmages. That's your answer. Why can't we run the ball? Our line is a snack pack. Why can't we stop the run? Our D-line is a snack pack.
Did I love a snack pack when I was a kid? You never had those, did you, Solana?
I had Jell-O, which made, like the brand Jell-O made pudding. So snack pack.
You didn't call
pudding.
Them snack packs, did you?
No, I called them
pudding. Yeah, we called the little pudding cups. They were snack packs, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, did I snack love pack. A snack pack.
Do you love a snack pack as your D tackle?
Not so much.
Did you see?
They should all have jerseys waiting for them in their lockers next week that say snack pack on the nameplate.
And oh boy, Dowdle had to have 100 yards after contact. Once he got to the second.
They don't tackle.
The linebackers, Minka Fitzpatrick was whiffing. And I know he can play. He's a pro bowler.
But it's scheme, right?
I thought Anthony Weaver was going to have them play violent.
That's the best.
Did he say he was going to have them play violin? Did I hear him wrong?
He said he's going to have them play like violets.
Crowder, it has to be scheme, though, right? Look, I'm willing to say Chris Greer whiffed on Kenneth Grant, like fine. I don't think it's fair to do that to a rookie 5 games in, but fine, right? Like we can say shouldn't have been taken that high up with Kenneth Grant. Guy can't play. He looks awful. They're relying on another rookie in that spot to play snaps. He doesn't look ready in Jordan Phillips. But how could the defensive line and the linebackers look that bad against the run? It has to be scheme.
No, that doesn't. You give me in that same, whatever that play is called, whatever they call it, base under row, 7 adjusted. You give me Keith Traylor, Vonnie Holiday, Kevin Carter, JT, me and Zach in the middle, they would not have had 100 yards rushing. I don't care what the scheme was. You whoop somebody's ass in front of you and go make a play. Like you have as many people as they have. We weren't playing with 10. We were playing with 11 like them, and they have a quarterback. So we actually have an advantage defensively because we don't have a quarterback. They're not there. I promise you, I'm not defending Anthony Weaver. I swear. I watched the game, went back and watched it again, and then watched the highlights this morning. I was traveling. I had nothing better to do. They are not violent. They do not penetrate. There's nobody in the backfield. Jalen Phillips and Chubb can get off the edge, but they don't run off the edge because they're like, okay, let Jalen and Chubb run up. They'll run up the field. We're going to go right in behind the ass, and there's no tackles or linebackers that are going to touch a soul. Oh, yeah, and if they do get over top to make this play, they're going to get a dowdled knee to the chest. They're going to fall down on the ground with their eyes closed, and he's going to haul ass for 50. It was that I was a run-stopping guy. You mess with me about the pass coverage, yes, I'm not going to stay with the tight end, but about as long as Tua has to throw the ball, about 2 seconds. But stopping the run is something I was good at. It is embarrassing watching them try to play the run game. It's sad.
It was sad. That was sad to watch. Let's do
Did you see the formation headlines when he was next to the quarterback, but he was like a yard behind him, and you knew they were running the same play there that they just ran to the other side? There was nobody pointing. There was nobody. You know, remember that thing Zach used to do where he started hopping towards
just going through the motions.
They're looking at their keys. They're in the same formation, but the tight end's on the other side and the running back's on the opposite side, but he's behind the quarterback. You think he's trying to block from behind the quarterback? I was about to cuss. You think he can't do anything from there but run the ball? They're running this football opposite side. The RPO action is exactly what they're doing. Nobody moved that way. Nobody shifted. Nobody's communicating. They're out there they're not playing football. They're on the field trying to figure out what's going on out here, fellas. That was a disgusting display of run defense. It was getting every time I watched a highlight or a play, it was just like my hair was raising up on the back of my neck. I was like, what the hell are y'all doing?
Which angers me more, hearing you talk about it that way, angers me more that they punted the ball away with a minute 20 to go. Said, yeah, we'll stop you this time. All right. We've waited now. Now we're going to get violent. Now,
figure it out.
Oh, we're going to stop you. Headlines are sponsored by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com.
All right. Well, everybody, calm down. Florida Panthers are back on the ice tomorrow, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
And the Miami Heat play tonight as well. Let me get a round of applause for that as well.
Talk about it. Let's go. Let's go.
Preseason? Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.